This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Christopher Walken. He's starring in a new independent film called The Opportunists. Walken's line readings are sometimes very eccentric, with accents on words that other actors would be unlikely to accent. Kevin Spacey did an impression of Walken on Saturday Night Live in 1997. It was part of a sketch about the never-before-seen screen tests for the first Star Wars film. The sketch opened with Spacey playing Christopher Walken trying out for the role of Han Solo.
Gotcha. Okay, Chris, whenever you're ready.
I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed, if it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon. It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. She's fast enough for you, old man. That sucked. I'm sorry. I need a minute. Damn it. You know, I had it.
Did you hear this impression when it was broadcast?
Yes, I did. He's a friend of mine. He does it in front of me.
Really? Does it make you self-conscious?
No, I guess I'm flattered, you know, to have that. It's never seemed to me that I spoke in an odd way. But I guess I do.
So you're not consciously trying to put the accents on surprising words?
No, I think that's I have my own way of punctuating things, and I think that's really more than it is. It's not so much the way I speak as the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. I have my own punctuation.
What do you mean by that? Do you like repunctuate a script when you get it?
I tend to ignore punctuation, actually. It's not that I do anything different. I just take it away. And then when I read things, I try to have them begin and end more or less where they do in my mind, as opposed to, you know, being told where that happens. It's kind of more interesting to figure it out yourself.
So do you think when you take away your punctuation in a script and say things in an unusual way, do you think it ends up maybe sounding more impromptu that way?
Well, it sounds more like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that's true. And scripts can very often be filled, I mean, not only over-punctuated by, you know, somebody wanting to make sure that it's spoken exactly the way they had in mind, but very often scripts are full of what they call stage directions, which not only tell you what it is you're saying and how to punctuate it, but it'll, you know, it'll have a line and it'll say in parentheses above it, he says despairingly, you know. Whenever I see that, I cross it out. Or if I see despairing, then I read the line happily, or...
Having grown up in show business, do you think that having an acting career means something different for you than it would to, say, someone who grew up in a small town and dreamed someday of getting to Broadway or of someday making it to Hollywood? Because you kind of grew up with all of this.
Yeah, I think that my feeling about it always was and still is. I'm not as comfortable with the word actor as I am with the word performer. I've always thought of myself as a performer. You know, if I'm a good actor, that's kind of a bonus. But being a performer has always been more or less how I think of what I do.
Well, Christopher Walken, before you have to leave, I want to end with a clip, and I was hoping you could tell us about making the scene. And this is from a movie called At Close Range, in which you play a kind of small-time criminal. Your son is Sean Penn. You turn on your sons. You shoot Sean Penn's, your own son's girlfriend, you kill her. You're a really heartless guy in this. And by the end of the movie, Sean Penn is so upset at all the treacherous acts you've committed against your own family that he's holding a gun on you, his father. And he's so upset, he might really shoot you, and you're not sure how to play it. Before we hear that scene, tell us a little bit about what went into the making of this scene and what it's like for you as someone who doesn't really like guns to be in front of a gun on a movie set.
Yes, well, this story is based on a real family, and, you know, it's a terrible, sad story. When we shot this scene, I think I know what you're referring to. I've said it before, but I had a gun pointed at me, and at one point they switched the guns, and that was enough to put me in a panic. I didn't know really what was going on, although everything was being kept very safe behind my back. Just being in the dark about it got me into a huge anxiety attack. Anyway, that on film, you can see that. It's about all I can tell you.
And the other thing I like about the scene is that you're a character who's so incapable of being sincere. I mean, you're trying so hard to say to your son, I love you, and it just won't come out in a sincere way at all.
Yeah, well, I tried to be sincere.
Tried and failed, though, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. That's in character.
Exactly. Christopher Walken, it's been a real pleasure. Good luck with your new film, and please make a musical one day.
Thank you, and it's always a pleasure to listen to NPR.
Oh, well, thank you for saying
and
that.
And your program.
Is it the gun you used to kill Terry?
I never did nothing to Terry.
Whoa! Whoa, wait! Is this the gun you used on everybody, on me? Family gun, Dad.
Jesus. Put that down. I've seen you.
You're gonna die. I know one thing clearer than I've ever known anything in my entire life, except that I loved Terry before you killed her. And that is that you're gonna die.
You got the guts to kill me? I'm your blood. I'm your family.
You're not my family, not anymore.
Yeah, you're crazy. Crazy, gone crazy.
Nope.
Listen!
What?
I know how it is. Cops got your neck, get your head all f***ed up. I know how that is.
My mind's simple, Dad.
Before they got you twisted, you must have known something. You must have felt it. I gave you money. I gave you a car. I took you in. But don't that mean something?
Means what? Means what?
It means I got feeling for you.
What feeling?
I care. What do you... I love you. What? Is that what you want to hear? I love you.
Yeah.
Mother...
I love you too, Dad.
Christopher Walken's new movie, The Opportunists, opens August 11th. Coming up, more on the Republican National Convention. This is Fresh Air. Last night, Dick Cheney accepted his party's nomination for vice president. The Washington Post reported last week that Cheney considered running for president 4 years ago, but decided against it in part because he wanted to protect a gay relative who didn't want to come out. That relative is his 31-year-old daughter, Mary. Now the Republican Party has a vice presidential nominee with a lesbian daughter and a platform with several anti-gay planks. We were curious about how people at different ends of the political spectrum would reconcile this. First, we called the Traditional Values Coalition, a Christian lobby group that opposes homosexuality. They have organized anti-gay initiatives in several states. We spoke with the coalition's founder and chairman, Reverend Lewis P. Sheldon. He lobbied at the Republican platform committee hearings. We reached him by phone yesterday at the Republican convention. I asked if the fact that Dick Cheney has a lesbian daughter changes Sheldon's feelings about the Republican ticket.
Well, absolutely not, because it hasn't changed Dick Cheney or Lynn Cheney's feelings at all about homosexuality. Dick Cheney still believes that homosexuality is inappropriate. He loves his daughter, and he's very much concerned about her. He treats her as a daughter with full respect, but doesn't mean that he is in any way decided that he wants to promote and advocate homosexuality as a viable life alternative. In the same way, you could compare this whole thing to exactly what happened with Governor McGovern, excuse me, Senator McGovern, when his daughter was an alcoholic who eventually died, you know, from drinking. I would say it's the same kind of thing. It's a behavior-based lifestyle that parents, you know, sometimes have with their children.
Have you spoken to Dick and Lynn Cheney, and have they told you that that is their feelings about their daughter and their feelings about homosexuality?
Well, I spoke with Dick. It was not in recent months, no, but it's probably been a year or so ago before, you know, the whole vice presidential thing ever surfaced. And, you know, and he talked about the fact, you know, that this is a personal family thing, and that was the end of it, so I didn't discuss it any further.
Were you consulted on the choice of Dick Cheney?
No. But I was, I wasn't consulted at all, no. But I was asked about it after the fact in terms of my response, which was, I believe he's tremendous. He energizes the base. He's very strong. And we're very appreciative of what the Democratic National Committee has done in telling all of our public, saved us millions of dollars of postage and mailing, that Dick Cheney is very pro-life, very pro-family, and very conservative.
Will the fact that the vice presidential nominee has a lesbian daughter make it more difficult for the Republican ticket to take the kind of anti-gay stand that you want it to take?
Well, the Republican Party, the answer to the question is no, it will not, not in any way, shape, or form, because the platform very clearly stated that marriage should be between one man and one woman, not homosexual marriage or even civil union kind of relationship that Vermont has put forth. Second, the whole issue of gays in the military was stated that this is an inappropriate behavior, and it made reference to returning to the pre-1993 don't ask, don't tell. And third, it states very clearly in the platform that homosexuality should never be given special rights, preferred status in the law concerning any form of sexual orientation.
Now, what's your impression of how much traditional family values and anti-homosexuality will be a part of the Republican campaign this year? I mean, the emphasis has been on diversity, inclusiveness, the word compassion.
Well, I think that what you're going to have is it in a very soft sell manner. You're not going to have repeats of what Pat Buchanan said in 1992 in Houston, Texas. You will not have that. So I think what you're going to have is the kind of things you heard from Laura Bush and the kinds of things you heard from Elizabeth Dole. You're going to see a strong emphasis upon what is good and charitable and reasonable and for the whole nation.
No, the people who you mentioned haven't really discussed...
Well, did you hear their talks last night, or Laura Bush's on Monday?
Yeah, she didn't discuss the issue of homosexuality.
No, but they talked... They didn't have to. They talked about, you know, the rights of parents, the issue of family values in a generic sense.
Now, what do you mean by soft sell?
Well, as I said, you remember what Pat Buchanan said? That was a little bit harsh. You don't want that.
Are you implying that you think the points are the same now as they were when Pat Buchanan spoke, but it's a nicer package now?
But the point is that the positions have not changed. We said that homosexuality is not a viable life alternative. It's not a viable life alternative. And we just have to realize that that's the position of most conservatives.
Why do you think that there is a more soft sell approach this time around?
Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly, but carry a big stick. And Dick Cheney is a big stick. His yes is yes, and his no is no. And we all know where he stands, including every Democrat in America who is a political activist.
Reverend Lewis Sheldon is the founder and chair of the lobby group, the Traditional Values Coalition. We called Winnie Stackelberg, the political director of the Human Rights Campaign, a gay rights lobby group. The group is bipartisan. It has endorsed Al Gore for president. She says the policies espoused by Dick Cheney and George W. Bush are policies that would directly discriminate against Cheney's lesbian daughter.
Well, for example, when Governor Bush in the last legislative session in Texas, he supported a bill that would have denied Texas gays and lesbians from adopting children. He supported that bill that would have outlawed gay and lesbian adoptions. He opposed a bill that would have added sexual orientation to the hate crimes law. He does not support job protections, for example, for gays and lesbians. In other words, his policies that he has forwarded would say that the two daughters of the Cheneys, one of them, it would be okay to fire her for a unrelated factor like her sexual orientation, even if she's doing a good job at work. But the other daughter, that kind of discrimination is illegal. So I think that is now the conundrum that faces the Bush-Cheney ticket with the fact that one of the daughters is openly gay.
What about what the platform says?
Exactly. I think that's another interesting point. There was a huge platform fight on several planks having to do with domestic partnership, having to do with non-discrimination and the military. And again, what it does is it codifies the discrimination that that exists and that now is a part of the Republican platform. It sort of puts that as a codification, and it really means that Mary Cheney, her father, as the second in command of that Republican Party, as the vice presidential candidate, is putting forward those positions as well. And I don't believe he does. I don't believe that he would like to see his own daughter discriminated against. And so it will be interesting to see over the next several weeks how the Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney respond to those kinds of questions.
Your group is a lobby group. How are you going to be using the fact that Cheney has a lesbian daughter in your work?
Well, I think that some of that will unfold over the next couple of weeks. I mean, whether Cheneys are treated equally, the two daughters are treated equally as the campaign goes forward. Will Mary Cheney's partner, for example, be embraced and given the same kind of role as the other daughter's husband and family? I mean, we constantly are hearing Lynn Cheney talk about how proud she is of her daughters, and I think that's wonderful, but then she goes on to say, my married daughter and her grandchildren, and talks about that family situation, and I don't hear the same kind of discussions on the other side. And while I think we want to ensure that Mary Cheney has her privacy, this is no longer a private matter because of the public policy positions that are being forwarded by both Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney, the Republican platform, and the campaign generally. And so I think that these will be issues that we will address in the next few weeks and months, and hopefully be able to draw distinctions, continue to draw distinctions between the Bush-Cheney ticket and Al Gore and whomever he selects as his running mate.
Yeah, I want to ask you more about that. I think that Mary Cheney has been very private about her homosexuality, and I think her parents would probably prefer to keep it that way, too. They have not seemed anxious to talk to the press about their daughter. What you're describing is talking about her in a more public way. Why do you think that's justified?
Well, I think Mary Cheney, in fact, has not been particularly private about her sexual orientation. She has been a member of the gay and lesbian community in Denver, Colorado, for a number of years. She had, most recently, a very public position with Coors Brewing Company as the gay and lesbian marketing manager. So, again, she hasn't been private about her sexual orientation. She's been an active member of the community in Colorado. And while I think that we at the Human Rights Campaign want to be sensitive to her and to her family, I think that her sexual orientation puts the anti-gay positions of the Republican ticket in a particular light. And we would be disingenuous and I think irresponsible in some ways not to then talk about and to urge Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney to answer the questions about discrimination in the workplace and hate crimes legislation and equal benefits for gays and lesbians and adoption policies. I think those are issues that are now facing the gay and lesbian community in huge numbers. And as Republicans, think they have a responsibility to answer those questions, made even more so now because of Mary Cheney. I mean, for example, on Tuesday night in the Republican convention, Jim Colby spoke, and he was protested by certain members of the Texas delegation. I mean, and again, will the Bush-Cheney folks speak out against that kind of overt display, that rejection that they received?
Winnie Stackelberg is the political director of the Human Rights Campaign, a gay rights lobby group. Coming up, David Bianculli reviews TV coverage of the Republican convention. This is Fresh Air.